We can conclude tonight our look at the prologue of the Gospel of John, this introduction to his message about who Jesus was, who Jesus is, what he has done, what he is doing, what he will do. And while we are going to focus on concluding this series, looking mostly at the last verse, we'll take a look at the whole thing and read the whole prologue this evening. It's on page 886 of your pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." This is God's word. Let's pray that he would teach us this evening. Heavenly Father, we need you to make yourself known to us. And so we ask your Spirit to abound to us with power, to take your word, to apply it to our hearts, to bring us true understanding, eyes to see the light, ears to hear the word, hearts to receive and believe in the only Son, our Lord Jesus. For we ask this in his name. Amen. Have you ever wondered if it would just be easier if God just showed up and made himself known in a completely obvious way? And we feel like all too often maybe we have to manufacture the knowledge of God. I hear a lot, you know, keep Christ in Christmas. And the thought is noble. I mean, to make what Christmas is about known, to keep the focus on the right things, the right things. But I've also heard it used as a bludgeon. Somebody yelled Merry Christmas at me as an insult. I'm pretty sure a euphemism for something else. And none of you, I'm sure. And sometimes it seems like it's like a bludgeon to keep Christ in Christmas to a culture that doesn't know who Christ even is, much less what it means to keep him in Christmas. And I wonder sometimes if it wouldn't just be easier if God showed up and revealed himself in a completely obvious way. But if he did, would we know it? This idea of God's invisibility is a theme in the Gospel of John. And in some ways, it's a theme of all of Scripture, that God, the creator of the ends of the earth, he doesn't have a body like a man. He isn't bound by the natural laws. He stands above and unencumbered by all of these things. And when he does appear, it's in types and forms. He appears out of the cloud. He spoke out of the fiery bush. He comes in the whirlwind. He comes as an angelic messenger, the angel of the Lord. We speak of God in anthropomorphisms, his right hand, his mighty arm. And yet John sums up the idea that God still hasn't appeared in this completely obvious way, in this phrase that he gives us in verse 18. No one has ever seen God. And that's a real problem. How are we to bear witness to that which we have not seen? How are we to introduce others to that which we don't know? It's a theme in Scripture. It's a theme and problem in life. Could we even find God if we sought him out? Or will he always remain hidden and invisible? There are many scientists who believe in God, who have made it their mission in life to produce studies to demonstrate the complexity of the world in which we live, the complexity of the cell, the irreducible complexity of it, the complexity of the human eye. And they've pointed to these things and said, see, there is a God. Of course, there are just as many, if not more, scientists who've done the opposite thing. They've produced study after study and looked at all these natural processes. There's nothing magic happening here. It's not spontaneous generation. Flies don't appear out of the air. There are natural, ordinary, just processes. We don't need a God to explain all of this. There are those who have looked then to reason and come up with all sorts of scriptural proofs, or logical proofs for God. Reasonable explanations that there must be a God. You had a parent, you had, like, what happens when we get to the first parent? What happens when we get to the first thing? What happens when we, there's got to be a first cause. And that must be God. Of course, there are many philosophers who've come up with just as many logical proofs that there isn't a God at all. Why is there evil? Why is there suffering? And your, how you understand those things often depends on what you think of their presuppositions and assumptions. There are those who've just pointed to the wonder of the world to say, see, if there wasn't a God, why would we even exist to produce such amazing works of art and music and architecture and culture? This must be a reflection of the divine within us. And then there are just as many others who've pointed to wars, natural disasters, and tragedies, and illness, and disease, and outbreak to say, where is God in the midst of that? Where John lived in first century Israel, they were stuck in a time where they felt this very tension. Israel was supposed to be God's chosen people, his chosen nation, to be the light of the glory of God to the whole world. And yet they had remained for centuries, at sometimes and other times, under the rule and oppression of various and sundry other kings, other nations, tyrants, and Caesars. And here, John lives in the midst of a world where God's chosen people are oppressed by Rome. Wouldn't it just be easier if God just showed up in an obvious way so we could all get on the same page? But there's a deep misunderstanding about the nature and character of God behind that question. And it comes in two ways. On the one hand, by definition, God, if he exists, stands above the things that he created. He's not bound by our natural laws. You're not going to find him out with some chemistry experiment. Nor can you disprove him either. If he is supernatural, by definition, he stands outside of your tools. He is the source of all truth. He made all the things. If logic doesn't begin with him, it will never find him fully and completely on its own. And our world that is full of such beauty and such pain isn't the world he made. It's the world he made where we exist as rebels against everything that he's called us to do and to be. If God were to appear, would we know what to do with that? Would we be able to make sense of that? Would we be able to understand and receive him well? I pulled up beside somebody the other night who looked like they were lost. It was, you know, one of these erratic driving, then his signal turns on, but he's in the middle of the wrong lane. And I thought, this guy's lost. And I pull up beside him and I roll down my window and say, is everything okay? And before I can get the words, are you lost, out, he just starts lighting into me like, I've got my blinker on and da-da-da-da. And you, this is the guy that then yelled at me, Merry Christmas, and then did a U-turn. All he had to say was, oh, it's fine, I'm just doing a U-turn. Okay, great, Merry Christmas. Like, he was just predisposed. I don't know if people have honked at him for doing U-turns. I don't know if he'd had a bad day. I don't know if he was drunk or lost or just angry about something else and I received the ire of it. All I know was there wasn't anything that I could have said, I think, to make him believe that I was just there to help him. And if I could have said it, he didn't give me a second to get a word in edgewise to say it. And what John says is that God has appeared, but the world didn't know him. We're predisposed not to know him. And so you might be forgiven for asking the question, can we ever then see God? Will he always remain invisible? Will it always remain a question? Will there always be this division with some people saying this and some people saying that? Why won't God just show up in a completely obvious way? And this is the message of the prologue of John. If you missed all the other messages, this is the point. He has. Because what we need to understand about God is that he desires us to know him. Not to know about him, not to debate about him, not to rail against him, but to know him. No one has ever seen God, but the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. As we read through the prologue of John, we see in the first five verses, if you remember when TJ preached that he has made himself known in creation. I mean, the glory of God is manifest out there for every eye to see, so that all men are without excuse. But what is he like? What would he have us know about him? He's sent his prophets. We studied about John the Baptist, who came as a witness to the light, and he, this Old Testament style prophet, declared the truth of God, declared the word of God, that we would have understanding of who he is and what he's about and what his plan of redemption was. He's revealed himself in our hearts through the working of the Spirit by bringing a new birth. Born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but born of God, to be called by his name. But most importantly and most significantly, God has made himself known in the person of Jesus, the Word, the light, the life. He who is God. God, the only God who is at the Father's side. This Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not derivative from God. He's not created by God. He is the title Son. And he is the only God who is also at the Father's side in this great mystery about the nature and being of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons, yet one God. And yet this God, in all his mystery and all his might and all of his unknowability, as high as he stands above all the things that he's made, yet he took on flesh and dwelt among us to make himself known. And not known in some hypothetical way. When it says the only God who is at the Father's side, it's in the Father's bosom. Jesus, in other words, has the place of closest intimacy with God because he is God. And because of that, he's in a position to reveal what God is really like. I could tell you about my wife. But those who know her firsthand know her better than what I could even begin to say. But here, Jesus, who knows everything about the Father and who is God himself, he comes and he makes him known so that we can know God not through a prophet, not through a sunset, but directly, personally. And not in a way that's just perfunctory, not in a way that's just, you know, rubber stamped, but in a way that is deeply intimate. When it says that he has made him known, the word there is related to the word exegesis, to take a text and do what I'm doing now, tell you what it means in its fullness. And Jesus then is expounding upon God to us. He is making him known, revealing him to us. The same intimacy that he has with God, he is proclaiming and offering and demonstrating to us. There is a God, creator of the heavens and the earth. There is the God who is the source of all life and delight, all truth, and he wants you to know him. Not know about him, not know of him, but know him. And at this Christmas time, it's helpful to be reminded of that. That it's not some logical explanation that I'm going to give you that's going to lift your spirits. It's not some warm holiday eulogy that I'm going to be able to give you that's going to make you feel fulfilled in life. God himself makes himself known to you. He invites you to behold him, to know him, to live in him, to have his light and his life, not just now, but as we've read from these other passages, forever. And so I leave you with that thought. Those who seek the Lord, those who want to know him, he can be found. Because he reveals himself in all creation if you would but observe him. He reveals himself in his word if you would but read and study it. He hears and answers and pours out his spirit upon those who pray and look to him in faith. He makes himself known to those who would but look. No one has ever seen God until now. Because Jesus Christ, the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. Look to him. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would help us to grasp this simple truth that you have made us to know you. Lord, for those here tonight who don't know you, Lord, we pray that you would reveal yourself to them afresh, anew, with power. For those who have become content with just knowing about you, Lord, I pray that you would come and bring new life in them, that they might know you truly. For those who have known you well, and yet are burdened by the darkness of this world, who are burdened by the fatigue of this life, Lord, I pray that you would shine the light of your promises upon him, that the day is coming when your light and your glory will not be hindered. You will make a new heavens and a new earth, and your people will dwell with you there forever. Lord, give us that encouragement that we might know you, glorify you, and bear witness to you, to others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.